Hello, all you Revengerous fans out there. It is another week of an exciting The Revengerous podcast of stuff. This is our Labor Day episode. We're here with the Grillmeister, Santa.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you for throwing us this cool shindig. All the Revengerous, I see them out there wandering around. There's Hot Knife and Harbjar and Oddjog and I guess not Dr. Tasty this week.
Yeah, he is.
What?
Ah!
Yay. Well, oh, you're here.
Nice barbecue you got going on.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, of course, it's our annual Grillathon that we have every Labor Day. And of course,
yeah, I never knew about that.
Have you not been to previous Revengerous annual barbecue So Hot a Summer Grillathons?
Nope.
Oh, well, you're here now because your invite must have gotten grilled or something. I don't know.
Santa, oh, no, you didn't invite me. I know.
No.
I heard you guys talking about it, and I was like, well, you know, they didn't invite me, but
I'm sure it got lost.
I'm here to stay, Santa, and I'm eating the rest of the food.
Is his invite on the grill or something? Did it get burned?
It might have. Yeah. I was using it to smoke something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we rolled it. Yeah, that's right. Well, it is Labor Day. One of the most important holidays to Americans, to the working man, and to the Revengerists, because it is the day that we remember a true American hero using true American barbecue. And there's a lot of news out there about the labor movement, protesters, and the minimum wage, and how politicians are going after them, and how unions are at the weakest they've ever been. It's really depressing news. I don't know if I want to get into any of that.
There's always going to be the plight of the working man. I don't see it getting any better.
But here's a news story that has to do with, you know, we've talked in the past about how you can get superpowers as an awesome that are not beneficial superpowers, right?
Yes.
This 3-month-old Indian baby is at the center of what they're calling a medical mystery. Doctors are trying to determine if the infant suffers from spontaneous human combustion, which, as you know, is a real thing.
Yeah, it's not people lighting other people on fire.
No, it's spontaneous.
Their space energy powers.
This baby obviously has a really crappy superpower. The boy's mother said 9 days after his birth, she found the baby on fire in her hut when he was left alone momentarily. There was a flame on his belly and his right knee, and my husband rushed with a towel to put it off. And they were very scared. This is very serious, actually. And, you know, the medical college hospital there in Kilpauk said they have a dilemma on their hands, and they're really trying to get some further investigations to see if this kid has spontaneous human combustion, which is clearly a real thing. That's the hypothesis they're starting with to work forward from.
The obvious and logical place to jump from.
Now, who is it that's starting this? Is it social services, or is it some drunken elder that also has a baby blowtorch?
No, I mean, I don't think that there's any kind of foul play. I mean, the experts have said that it's probably static electricity or some kind of wick effect that, you know, doesn't account for the ignition, but
a wick on the baby? I mean, what is it, like the umbilical cord?
Jam
a firecracker in?
Yeah, alright. I'll give you this. Other possible
Highly unlikely scenarios
could be some other medical condition or possibly child abuse, but they only mention that once in the article, and the rest of the time they focus on spontaneous combustion. So clearly it's spontaneous combustion and not child abuse. Because why would ABC News and the Daily Mail, why would the Daily Mail and all these other newspapers, legitimate news sources, you know, say that it was some kind of supernatural event and not something mundane like child abuse? That doesn't make any sense.
Not at all. And I'm going to go and say that there's no way that parents in India would want their child to be caught on fire. So
not any of them.
None.
I mean, none of the 1.24 billion people in India. Wow. 1.24 billion people in India. None of them would ever do that.
That's some sort of a record for not wanting to make a crime.
Exactly. Hey, Santa, actually, you're forgetting, Mr. Skeptic, that this is spontaneous combustion. if it were someone setting the child on fire, that wouldn't be spontaneous. It takes a minute to think about it and to get the lighter to work. And sometimes the lighter takes a second. That's not spontaneous at all.
That's true. And also, it was clearly be the husband that would be doing that, because the wife, all the women out there just really want a guy to go with the flow, and he's always constantly spontaneous.
That women like so, spontaneous,
yeah, I mean,
men, yeah.
Even if you tried to make it appear spontaneous, like you planned this all out ahead of time, you got some special blankets and doused them in gasoline, per se, and then hit some matches where you would be able to access them really quickly, and then, you know, planning the day on a calendar and getting there and setting it all up, and then the act itself would be fairly quick and spontaneous, but that was premeditated, so it's not spontaneous in the first place. So this is obviously a true story.
Well, I found a more recent update to the story. They say that they've released the baby into protective services because they haven't been able to... I mean, they just haven't been able to prove spontaneous human combustion yet. So, once again, some liberal activists saying that they needed to take this child away from their loving parents and into big government's hands. That's a tragedy. And on
big,
Labor Day.
Big India government.
But it's still suspected, and there's other cases around the world where spontaneous human combustion is also possibly maybe a thing that could have possibly happened, potentially.
You know, people spontaneously combust around me all the time. I don't get it.
Well, you probably have the same thing I do, where you can do it with your mind. Right? You just spontaneously combust stuff with your mind sometimes?
Sometimes. I guess that's why.
My mind tells my hand to pick up the lighter, and then my mind makes the muscles click the lighter. My mind then combusts something. That's how that works.
I mean, if you think about it, everybody has mental power.
It's true. We're all mental. I don't know why, but all of a sudden I really want one of those well-done burgers. Hey, Santa, burger me.
No problem. There you go.
Well, we got everything we need. This is like a barbecue for Valhalla right here. What do we have at the spread? We got burgers, hot dogs, pulled pork.
More burgers.
Ribs. Fribs.
More burgers.
Fish.
These awful tasting black lumps.
We have shrimp kebabs. We've got macaroni salad.
And potato salad.
Oh, we got all the salads. We got pasta salad. It looks like some kind of hummus. Hummus.
Is anybody else eating this this charcoal? Charcoal.
Those are for
charcoal
dessert.
Charcoal.
Those are for dessert, dude. You're doing
the charcoal.
Right. You're supposed to put mustard on it. Just don't
totally try that. Better.
Just don't spontaneously combust them with your mind or a lighter. Hey, Santa.
Yo.
Speaking of explosions, the traditional bacon log. Can you tell us?
It's a log, and it's made out of bacon. There you go, and barbecue.
What's it called?
It's called the bacon explosion. You get bacon wrapped with sausage, wrapped with bacon, and on each of those layers, my friend, there is goodness of barbecue sauce and barbecue rub and a little bit of love.
I find it weird that Santa is hosting a barbecue.
What's
well,
up?
He's winter themed, but he loves the summer. Santa loves barbecue.
I do. Right here.
So if people want to see more of this bacon explosion, they can just go to YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bazillion.
Make it, eat it, die. That's what we're commanding you to do. Make it,
mm-hmm.
Eat it, die.
Not necessarily in that order. You can make it. Die, and then hand it to me.
And then you'll eat it.
And then I can eat it.
This is how you have a true American barbecue. Dr. Tasty, you've been studying the ways of true America. What else does it take? What else does it take to have a true American barbecue? I see we have red, white, and blue striped picnic table covers.
That's the start. You need to have American flags posted on the north, south, east, and west corners of the picnic area.
So ghosts can't.
Right, and also vengeful spirits Little and spirits. Demons. Right. And it also acts as like some sort of kind of weird embassy, seeing as we're in a foreign park.
It's true. The Irish Cream Memorial Park.
Why is it in Romania?
No, but we're just like a stone's throw away from Transylvania, and we're in the Irish Cream Memorial Park celebrating American Labor Day. It's kind of
sounds about right.
Multicultural. It's wonderful.
By default, we are happening to do also a tradition that Americans typically don't get to do, which is invade a foreign country with our culture.
That's right. In fact, if there's
it's been an American tradition that for a very long time.
And if you have any extra burger, Santa, just throw them over the border there to seduce their lifestyle with ours. Obviously, barbecue foods and grilled foods are all superfoods.
If you can throw it to India, that would be good.
Hey, yeah. If we send them food, maybe they'll stop burning babies.
India loves burgers.
Did that little kid have any spice rub on him?
He was in a tandoori clay pot. That's awful. Santa, what's that weird kind of meat you have on the grill?
Oh, that's a gorilla.
What?
Yeah, I took a gorilla. I stole him from the zoo.
Why?
Why did
you do that?
You've been talking about it. I thought you knew.
No.
The grill a gorilla-a-thon.
No, it's grill-a-grilla, like grill twice. It's the Revenge of Santa annual.
I've been grilling a gorilla for Labor Day every year for multiple years now, and
I just thought it was like some gamey kind of like forest meat, like a venison or something. And
yeah, really it's good. Delicious.
It's really good.
It's actually pretty. Yeah, it's good.
All right.
I mean, among the other things you have here, like there's a pile of like panda corpses and giraffes.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Well, yeah, and
are, like. Friendly.
Half of those I'm not actually going to cook. I just like having dead panda corpses around.
Look, gorillas.
It gives them a little bit of an ambiance.
Gorillas are our gentle forest nature cousins of the jungle. And I will not condone the grilling and eating of them starting next year. So,
okay.
For the record.
Because we already have the meat.
What? You can remember.
Not.
Yeah, well, I might. Actually, we probably had this exact conversation last year.
We did.
Maybe.
Well, for the record, the title is The Revengerous Santa's Centi-Annual Barbecue So Hot a Summer Grilla Grillathon, The Grillinning. That's the name of our event every year. So, get it right.
Grill a Gorilla-a-thon.
Right.
Even then. I mean, that's also another American tradition, is to take and kill whatever you want.
Right.
I mean,
and eat what you kill.
It goes back as far as Thanksgiving, where we had dinner with Native Americans, and then we killed them all.
Yeah.
And used their...
With cyanide stuffing, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I learned
but
in history.
But we ate all of their food. I mean, this is American tradition.
That's true. I mean, we're living through so many... There's so much history that we celebrate at our Avengers event that I don't remember what I called it before, every year. And it's really important that we do relish. We appreciate and relish everything we have in our fine traditions and our values.
Yeah.
And revere those who fought. We have to remember who we're celebrating. Remember?
Oh. Again?
No.
Labor.
That line again. Really?
Do we have to?
Yeah. This is a necessary tale I need to tell you because you've probably forgotten.
Every year. Every
year and several months in between, I got to relay the story of our hero, Labor.
One time you did this on Memorial
the
Day.
Great hero of Labor Day.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da.
Labor.
So, in ancient times, the management of the USA did not treat its citizens with care or respect. Each person worked as a slave and had no days off. this was a result of time fuckery performed by the evil Dr. Evilus, who was posed as the President of the United States at the time. That's another story altogether. At one point during ancient times, there was a rush of work called the Work Rush, quote-unquote. War had just broken out between the USA and England for the fifth time, and they needed people to work. So the people worked and worked, and after the war was over, the nation celebrated yet another American victory. But the workers weren't honored. A man who was friends with the government named Labor was displeased with this. He begged the government to give people some slack, but they would not budge. The people whispered of him, incorrectly pronouncing his name, Labor. Labor decided to take matters into his own hands. He liberated the workers, giving them a day off. The president at the time, Dr. Evilus, was not pleased and sent troops to do battle with the workers, but Labor was there to stop them. He battled the troops and came out victorious. So Dr. Evilus took matters into his own hands and challenged Labor to a duel. The duel lasted for days atop the White House. On the dawn of a Monday in September, Labor defeated Dr. Evilus, thrusting his chainsaw sword, not chain sword, into Dr. Evilus's chest. Before he could finish the evil doctor off once and for all, Evilus made an emergency time fuckery teleport and got the fuck out of there. Nonetheless, Labor had won. Or did he? And then he called upon all the workers in the USA. He told them to take regular breaks and enjoy a day off every once in a while with paid hours. He also told them to take off national holidays and holidays for religious purposes. He then told them to take a day off immediately because that day was special. What Labor did not take into account, rioting would occur. With shackles of indentured servitude undone, the people regained their innate ability to riot. Riots broke out with the police off duty. Labor found himself alone in a world of anarchy. He tried vigorously to stop the rioting, to convince the citizens to not destroy all they had worked for. They would not listen, and consequently trampled Labor. He held fast, but the people kept piling on. Eventually, he was crushed beneath the weight of 10,000 U.S. citizens. When his life was all but extinguished, the people snapped out of the rioting haze. They all immediately realized what they had done and carried the crumpled body of Labor. Hoisted above their heads, they hurled him into the river, because fuck burying him, and partially because they wanted to honor what he stood for, cutting people some slack. Before they put him in his watery grave, he uttered the following to them. Listen closely, brothers, for my life's breath is all but spent. There shall come a time far from now when our nation itself is working overtime non-stop. Even as I am now dying and our foes, the management, shall gather to overwork us without paying time and a half. Then, my children, I shall listen to your call in whatever realm of death holds me, and I shall answer, no matter what the laws of life or death forbid. At the end, I will be there for the final battle, for the overtime. The people mounted the loss of their beloved Labor and began forgetting how to pronounce his name. They declared that day to be Labor Day, a day where the people would not show up to work on time, or at all, to put aside notions of labor and mourn Labor.
Oh, that's 10. I have 10.
Todd.
What?
Oh, 12.
No,
oh,
fuck you! You beat me every year to fucking hot dog eating contests.
Oh man, I love hot dog eating contests.
I'm gonna be so sick. Yeah, good story. Good, thanks.
I like the part where it ended. Oh, God.
Overtime.
Because I...
Overtime. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to chain you guys down next time I tell you.
Yeah, well, you should have a hot dog. Put a wiener in your mouth.
I've already eaten, like, 30 hot dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
So technically you win the hot dog eating contest.
I suppose. Did you watch him eat it, or I think he's lying.
I gotta believe him. I've seen him eat.
Yeah, I have, just not today.
Oh, which reminds me.
Dr. Tasty's jerk who needs to be punched in the face of the week.
Related to this story, or remember when we talked about time fuckery? And, Dr. Evilus is like...
Have we ever talked about time fuckery?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, one day we'll do it as a wiki page, yeah.
Yeah, but Dr. Evilus, the main villain in the story that I just told you that you all remember and love to hear, he's really good at time fuckery. so good, in fact, that he even gets on my nerves, which actually is kind of easy. But so related to food, I don't know if you guys remember. I mean, it's kind of hard to remember because of the time fuckery, but I clearly remember having the world record for world eating competition back in, like, I don't know. I think I win it every year. But they announced me as grand champion that could not be defeated and told me that I no longer needed to compete in order to hold that title. Mm-hmm. I mean, I told them I still want to compete, but they insisted.
You're the infinite champion of all the universe.
Infinite champion. Anyway, so I was going to, like, look at that, and it was gone. All records of that are gone. Gone.
It's almost... you're the only one who remembers it, and everyone else thinks you're lying.
Yeah. So I did a little research. Research being, I went to Dr. Evilus, and I told him, Dr. Evilus, you're Dr. Tasty's jerk who needs to be punched in the face of the week.
Nice. And did you?
And then I punched him. I did.
Awesome.
We had a fight after that. He was nearly victorious in the sense that he wasn't.
He almost won.
I punched a hole in his chest and he did some time fuckery and teleported out of there. But he knows. He knows he's Dr. Tasty's jerk who needs to be punched in the face of the week.
I'm glad. I hate that guy.
Now I have to go and win that eating contest again.
Yeah, all over again and with the same results. I do want to say, though, that even though we don't like time fuckery, we do like going to alternate dimensions. And thanks to that, we have pretty much every beer at this barbecue that you could think of from every dimension. We've got Duff, Bearwiz beer, Panther Pilsner beer, Buzz beer, Trader Brow. We've got some Trader Brow. Vetamita I can't even say it. Vetamita Vegemin.
They made that as a beer?
It's got alcohol in it.
Awesome.
It's, I don't know if it's a beer. It's got alcohol in it. We have the Pan Galactic Gargle Blasters, Piso Mojado. I mean, you name it. We have them. We have all these beverages. And it's feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good right now. I'll just say that. Anyways, you guys want to hear a good story?
Sure.
I don't know if I can handle any more good stories.
I mean, if we hear one good story today,
yeah,
we should
yeah, we hear did.
The next okay. amazing chapter of The War of Galactar.
Cut to the amazing space battle already in progress. Dr. Tasty uses space life to cut the biggest space cruiser in half, much to the pleasurement of the other battling space battalions on other sides that are fighting each other and each other. There were a lot of sides, but the remaining sides just thought Dr. Tasty was all on each of their sides. But it was not the case to assume such an ass thing, because he was not. Dr. Tasty has never even been to space at all.
I have not been to space,
said Dr. Tasty. So then he turns around all cool and slow and badass, then looks them up, then looks them down. They then realize all at once that he is not their side at all.
Open fire!
The captains of the Starship Brigades of Unknown Planets open fire. Dr. Tasty only has 1 second to turn on his absorb energy power, which looks a little rusty because he usually does not need to have this use of it ever. Two little star captains does not fire. However, as they is observing and watching to look and see who will be victorious, he may even be a good guy. It was half mini starfighter and a mysterious person.
Hold your fighter! Dr. Tasty is on the good guy side!
The foolish other warring sides assume that they are the winners, because there is always a moment after energy absorbed where Dr. Tasty looks vulnerable and defeated. And it is sort of a trick, but it is also just sort of how the move works, where he is curled up and vibrant, then throws out with light, and sends a shockwave pulse that destroyed all the bad ones but left the good ones there mostly. But Dr. Tasty did not care. Always after this move, he is angry with power madness, which is why he does not use it ever, usually. The one good little starship captain spaceman of unknown name and or origin, he sees this is so and makes a run for the closest port. But Tasty is breaking every rule of the hero code and shooting energy beam rays at innocent Trog. It is at this time that the Revengers show up. and see what he is doing happening, and have combined their knowledge of past Dr. Tasty encounters to remember how they stopped just such a thing last time. I really don't remember. I read this a long time ago, and then let someone borrow my comic, and they never gave it back, and I was just a kid, and it was really hard to find, and nobody else on the internet seems to know either. Dr. Tasty is super scary just now, and breathing heavy, even though he does not have to breathe, and no, he can't even breathe in space. His eyes are now darkness or whiteness. I don't remember, but no pupils because he's gone mad for now. It's temporary, guys. Back at the compound, Hotknife was upset because the werewolves have just killed most of the interns that were encrusted to his watch. The base is all scratched up with wolf claws and smells like wolf pee. The entertainment center is not completed. Hotknife is all alone with maybe one, two interns, and decides to call the other Avengers on the interstellar distress line.
All these werewolves, but I can't even get the interns to do shit!
They have no answer! It turns out NASA Florida sucks at setting up electrics. So he star 69's the Mammoth Princess's face. It rings. The werewolves are getting close. It rings. The werewolves getting closer. And so on. But she finally picks up, but we see it is not only her, but she is also the same star captain that was good before and wearing a helmet. So that we didn't recognize that it was her the whole time, until just before she taped it off. You thought it was a boy, but it was her. Fuck you! Hotknife and the interns do not know this because they were not there. In space, I mean. They were there when the princess called the first time, but not about the second part when the star captain watched all the Dr. Tasty stuff and had the helmet and stood back. No. They did not know any of this. Only the audience like you and me know this now. She yells at them real loud because she can see behind them as werewolves.
Please help the werewolves! Please, werewolves!
It's pretty thrilling, you guys.
Yeah, and that actually happened.
All the things that we talked about actually happened. I don't know why you would specifically emphasize one, because all things happened in the Omniverse.
Right.
I'm having a pretty good Labor Day, eating these panda ribs. Hey, Santa, you mentioned something from the wiki that interested you. We have a lot of superpowers on there.
It's the weird one with the lady that was coming all over the place.
Persistent.
And getting all pissed off about it.
Persistent sexual arousal disorder. So I want people to go.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, and see that our wiki isn't just about, like, dick and fart jokes, that we actually talk about real medical and scientific discoveries. And this is a woman who has a condition that causes her to have an orgasm every couple seconds, which sometimes lasts for hours. So she's in a constant state of coming her entire life.
And yet she's constantly pissed off.
I mean, she doesn't like it. I don't know. I guess if you had to do something every day, it would get boring.
Exactly.
It's better in small doses. That's what we should tell our listeners. They should feel...
Don't have sex with anyone!
No, I mean, only do it however many times you're doing it. If you're doing it, that's fine, but really appreciate it. Because if you're not, you're wasting it. Don't be one of those guys or ladies. It's like when you're... It's like when you get caught smoking a cigarette and then they make you eat an entire carton of cigarettes. Too much of a good thing can still be a shitty thing. If you have a superpower like the McKenzie brothers to drink an entire vat of beer when someone tries to drown you in it, then you're fine. But if you don't have that power, you're just going to drown and that's going to be shitty for you and also for anyone who comes to drink that beer later.
Nice reference about the McKenzie brothers.
You like that?
I love that strange
brew action.
Yeah, you dusted it off and handed it to me.
So there you go. Check out our wiki. We have a whole lot of conditions on there. We're conditioning our wiki. We want to have a lot of like actual scientific and psychological and medical knowledge available for people who don't know what it is that makes them awesome, but they know they're just different from everyone else. Is there anything else we had for this week? What do you guys think about Ben Affleck as Batman?
Well, Bruce Wayne is Batman, first of all. So, Ben Affleck can't be Batman. And that wouldn't even make sense for someone to, like, announce that they were going to take up the role of Batman.
You shouldn't tell people you're Batman.
No. Obviously. You should never tell people you're Batman. Because then Dr. Tasty might think you're a jerk who needs to be punched in the face of the week and then kill you.
Well, as far as we know, that Christian Bale beat the shit out of his mom and his sister. So I'd say that, because he's a sack of shit.
He needs practice.
Fair enough.
To be fair, Santa, do you know whether or not his mother and sister were dressed in ridiculously colorful costumes trying to rob a bank? Because then...
No, they were... I think it had something to do with him roid raging on them. Not exactly positive, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Batman does not need steroids or magic knee brace things. Batman is Batman. Well, Santa, do you have a product recommendation for us?
Yeah, I do. It's not just one company that makes these, but multiple ones. I've seen them in different stores and online. The knife that's made for specifically cutting watermelons, and it makes it look like a watermelon. It's yeah, it's got to be good because I've not used it, but it's completely specialized and really kind of dumb to be having. I mean, really smart to be having around your kitchen taking up space.
Just like watermelons.
Specifically for when you want to end up cutting. Yeah.
I love watermelon, but every time I buy one, like it kind of just sits around. And I don't use it.
Like, oh yeah, I'll cut that up later.
Well, if you had a watermelon cutting knife, maybe you'd have the motivation to eat it. Now, wouldn't you, dumbass?
But only if I had a watermelon, because if I have a watermelon cutting knife and no watermelon, then I'm not going to feel motivated to use my watermelon cutting knife.
which didn't come first? The watermelon cutting knife or the watermelon?
I guess the knife came first.
Like the whole chicken.
Well, yeah, I mean, why would mankind make a watermelon without a tool to harvest it?
Obviously. We're problem-solving creatures. And I think that, you know, it's that work ethic and that sense of being useful to society that has made working-class heroes like the Revengerists the people that we are today. So, happy Labor Day to you guys.
Happy Labor Day! Ho, 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 ho!
So we're gonna go and finish eating all these delicious barbecue meats with our friends that we have lots of and you don't, and we're going to sing traditional Labor Day songs. We'll see you next time. What do we always tell them, kids?
Eat at Joe's.
Hey, you owe me $5.
This is how you hold the scissors when you run.
And
oh yeah.
Forget.
What watermelon cutting knives are really good to run with. There we go. There's a use for them.
If we can't save you, you're fucked.
You're fucked!
You're still fucked. You're fucked in the first place.
Why you need us.
You thought you weren't, but then you were! Ha ha!